Our first question today is from Frank, and it goes like this. One of the things that I've been noticing in the lead up to this series is some very intense ideas about how I don't have enough that have felt like these sort of psychotic waves of intensity that don't make any sense. I have a feeling the way I'm treating this is not really helping. Because the way I've been treating it is that I'm evolving out of these thoughts. And so I've got to go through the dark stuff in order to get to the light. So there's peas and ice cream going on here. Or that's the way it looks to me. Is there anything you could say about that? All right. So one of the things that we've discussed with you before is the fact that you do tend to take these particular series as being very important, that it's important for you to stand behind what's coming out of your mouth. We really, really, really don't recommend that. We've talked about that before. You're not really required to stand behind anything that you're saying in this way. It's already crazy. It's already nuts. So you don't really need to stand behind it intellectually and be able to defend it, because no one really gets to us who is going to be in a mode of trying to question what you're doing. And even if that were to occur, and this is something you've encountered already in the writing of your books, even if that were to occur, it doesn't really matter. Because if we put it in a book sort of way, a bad review is just someone's opinion about what you did. Or it's not really even what you did or what you wrote or what you said. It's about what they read, which is not the same thing that you wrote, as we all know, as we've said many, many times. If there are, let's say, 10 people listening to this conversation and they're listening to 10 recordings or 10 people listening live, there are 10 different versions. Actually, there's many, many more than that. Let's say there's 10,000 different versions. Because everyone is having all sorts of different ideas about what they're hearing, and they're only picking up the pieces and parts that they can. And this is if we look at this materialistically, which is not the way it's happening. But they're only going to pick up on the parts that they are matched to. And someone who doesn't like what you're doing isn't going to like what you're doing, no matter how careful and cautious you are. That goes for writing as well as for channeling. Well, which is channeling, just in another name. So in other words, whatever you do, you're going to piss off people and you're going to be helpful to people. And your job is to pay attention to what's helpful to you. You don't really have an ability to screen in advance. And to the extent that you're doing it, you're going to end up with stuff like what you've got. Sort of doing the pre-workshop. Like, and this isn't a workshop. It's just a series of conversations with questions, bringing contrast to the table. You don't know what it's about. We don't know what it's about. If we did the same thing you were doing, it would just be awful. And we understand it is kind of awful. That's part of it. The other part of it is that you really do believe that your bank account is telling you, I don't have enough. And that's not true. Because first of all, the way that you're measuring it, you will never have enough because you're looking at it as money. That's the bottom line. We could talk about why, but the why is irrelevant. It's the what that's going on that's significant. What is that you're looking at your bank account as being the source of your good? It's a temporary way station where your good parks itself for a while. That's all that is. And in fact, your good doesn't really park itself anywhere. If you go to your wallet or you go to your bank account and you observe it and take a snapshot of it, that's all that is. It's a snapshot. It has really, literally no meaning. It has no intrinsic meaning, at least, other than the fact that it's a picture of abundance. That's its meaning. Now, you can make it mean anything you want to. And in fact, in order to make it mean something, you have to make it into a snapshot. Because otherwise, you can't really, if you'll notice this, if you go to the ocean or you go to a river, like the song says, can you pin a wave upon the sand? No, you can't, because a wave is not really an object. It's an expression of the motion of energy, of the movement of energy. Just like the downstream flow, you can't picture that. You can't pin it down. You can't take a snapshot of it. If you'll notice, photographers who do take snapshots of what looks like a rushing river, something you're familiar with since some time ago, you spend a lot of time looking for really good pictures of downstream rivers, they have to use an exposure that goes through a long period of time. In other words, the camera has to be open so that they can get the illusion of movement. There is no actual movement. There's just the picture. You can't capture movement. You can't pin a wave upon the sand. So when you look at a bank account, when you look at what's in your wallet, you're looking at a snapshot. You can't see the motion there. But that's why we've suggested things like take a $20 bill or a $1 bill or a nickel and put it on the table and actually be with the nickel or the dollar bill or the 20 or whatever it is, the loonie, the toonie, whatever it is. Sit down with it and feel your way into it, and you're going to notice you like what it is for what it is. And if you are willing to sit very still and put your attention on it, you're going to see it phasing in and out. We don't mean it's going to disappear. But what we know that you will see is if you're paying attention, you're going to see what feels like kind of energy emanating off of it. That's the way it's often described. Objects seem to have energy emanating off of them, but that's not what it is that you're noticing. What you're noticing is the movement of the objects. It's not energy emanating off of them. They're not stable entities that are then radiating out, although there's an aspect of that. But the radiating out is something you measure. You're noticing this all the time with all sorts of things. You don't pay any attention to it. A very young child, recently arrived with eyes that are coming into focus, does notice that everything is moving. And part of the idea of sort of coming into a body and getting it more attuned to what it's actually there for is the idea of looking at your reality as being a stable idea. And that's something that other people around you reinforce. That energy is not there, that the movement is not happening, that all that is occurring is that you're in the right place at the right time, in the right way, right here and right now. Now, in the answering of this question, something very interesting occurred. What sounded like, and maybe perhaps was, a smoke alarm went off in the building next to you. Now, we would say, and we know that if you're the one who's channeling, you're not listening to the answer to the question like you're doing here, that if you were, as has happened before, where you were at a workshop in a yoga studio that was next to the fire station, and the fire station, because it was a volunteer station, so they had to sound the alarm to tell the volunteers, hey, come to the station because we got things to do, that went off several times in the workshop, which was lousy to the attendants because they kept thinking they were being interrupted. But we kept saying, no, pay attention. Every single time one of these alarms goes off, pay attention because it's actually telling you something. In the same way that we do when a cat in the background says something or a dog says something when we're recording a conversation with someone or a baby or another person just walks into the room and says, hey, and then realizes, oh, I'm sorry. And then they creep out. And the person says, oh, sorry for the interruption. We say, no. That was actually part of the story. There is no interruption here. What there is the idea that you have about who you are and what you're becoming and who you are and what you're becoming. And again, shall we say it again? Who you are and what you're becoming. Because that's the basis of your question. The basis of your question is, why the fuck is this shit happening? That's not what you asked us, but that's the basis of your question. And our answer is, you're making it happen because you think it's needed. And we've said that in a couple of different ways. You're making it happen because you think it's necessary. You think you need to clear out this old stuff. You think you need to figure out how to capture the flow. That's why we talked about photographs. Flow can't be pictured. It's experienced. The downstream part of a downstream flowing river. If you're in the canoe, you're in motion. And so you have indicators of that. You're in sitting in a canoe and you can hear the water rushing by the sides of the canoe, which has its own sound. You can look up and you can see the trees or the branches of the trees that are hanging over the river passing by over you. You can see your relationship to passing clouds or the sun or other objects on the shore, on the riverbank, being something that is staying still while you're moving. So you've got all of these points of contrast to say, hey, I'm in motion. Of course, you're not actually moving. That's the other part of this. You're not actually moving. Everything is moving around you. So when we said earlier, objects are not emanating energy. You're seeing their motion because you are sitting perfectly still and everything around you is moving because you're manifesting the dream that surrounds you, that encircles you, quite literally, in powerful, delightful, and delicious ways. So to go back to what you brought to the question, or rather, shall we say, what you brought to the table in this question. This shit is happening and I don't like it. What's wrong with me? That's the central aspect of the question. There's no shit happening and there's nothing wrong with you. You're just temporarily deluding yourself into believing something that isn't true. There are two levels of that belief, that idea, let's put it that way, that thought that you're manifesting and practicing. One is that there's a new series and you got to get up to speed on it before it happens because after all, and this is part of the delusion, after all, if it isn't for you, then it can't be for anyone else. Bullshit. What we say when we're saying write what you want to write or channel what you are in alignment with channeling, what that means is you're not making prior decisions. If you'll notice, you're not making prior decisions. What you're doing is following the flow of energy. And that's what you're doing right now. It's a little difficult in this answer because this is, we've hit some raw nerves, and that's good. There have been a lot of contrasting points, and we know that you're sort of sitting over to the side going, I don't think this makes any sense, which is, you know, a rather common reaction that you have to what we do because you're trying to encapsulate it. And this actually is probably the spot on dilemma that you've got going on is you need to be able to make sure that you can defend your position. That as a writer, you know, that fucks up your writing. When you just write what you want to write, it comes out really, really, really well. It doesn't mean you're the most popular writer in the world and everybody loves you because you're such a good writer. That's not the point. That's not why you're doing it, although we know that that's part of your sort of panoply of dilemmas that you bring to the table when it comes to selling anything, including this. But the truth is, you're not selling anything to anyone. What you're doing is making available things that you want other people to benefit from, and you don't know how that's going to happen. That's why we talk about that all the time. It's we mean it. It's true. It's also something we recommend anyone listening actually use. Whatever you're producing, whether it's a cake or whether it's a book or whether it's a series of workshops or whether it's you're knitting something or you're building something, whether you're building a house or building a boat or building a bridge, we recommend you do what feels better to you. You do what you want to do because you wanting to do it is the feel better part, by the way. It's not an invitation to narcissism or nihilism. I can do anything I want. It doesn't matter. Yes, you can do anything you want and it doesn't matter, but why not do what you actually want to do? Which isn't a call for narcissism because we're not saying you should do only the thing you want to do and not anything else and exclude all other possibility. No, you're going to be awash in a river of contrast. There's just no question about that. That's what you're here for. You're not making a mistake when you're awash in contrast. You're actually in a very rich, very decadent, almost very wealthy spot because part of wealth is contrast. In fact, we would say without contrast, wealth is a meaningless statement. It's a meaningless concept. It's a meaningless word. You have to have contrast to understand what wealth is. And we don't mean the opposite of wealth. We mean the variety and the diversity of experiences and situations And we're not saying that in kind of a, oh, too bad, that sucks. It's part of the variety of your situation or the diversity of your contrast. That's not what we mean. We mean how wonderful things are and how much different things are from each other in wonderful ways. That's what's real. What is not real are the opinions that you're bringing to the table, which is part of your dilemma, about what it's supposed to mean. We also want to remind you of one other thing. When you look at your bank account and you're thinking about what you had versus what you could be having, now notice the language. You're using what you have and comparing it to something conditional that is abstract. And in fact, it's abstract beyond abstract because it's not just conditional, it's subjective, to use the grammatical term. Or shall we use the right word, the grammatical term? But we like grammatical better. We would really invite you to pay attention to the fact that comparisons, unless you're comparing what is more delicious than what has than one thing to another, in other words, which do you prefer of the colors of the rainbow? That kind of comparison is powerful and delightful. You're going to compare what you don't like to what you do like. There's no question. And that is very helpful because what you don't like is telling you, no, don't come here. But that's it. That's the whole point. That's what it's telling you. A thought that you don't like is not a thought that is damaged that needs to be healed, which is a lot of what's going on here as well. That's not what's going on ever in truth. What's going on in truth is every thought is perfect. You just don't like some thoughts. And if you don't like a thought, don't put your attention on it. Pretty simple. Now, we know that you'll be thinking, well, but you don't understand. This is like, I feel like I'm in some sort of traumatic state where I just kind of completely entranced by ideas that I can't get out of. Like I'm in some sort of hall of mirrors and I can't find out where the exit is. If you're in a hall of mirrors, stop moving. Stop. Take a deep breath and look around. Your eyes will eventually tell you where, in fact, the next step will be found. And if you can't use your eyes, you can use your hands. If you're in a hall of mirrors, just go to the furthest wall and bump up against it. And then use your body, because your body is not going to be worried about whether it sees a reflection of itself or not. That's your eyes. Use your hands until you find the edge. And then you'll know, ah, here's the opening. In other words, just because you're focused on one thing, because that's what you've trained yourself to do, doesn't mean that's the only skill you have or the only capacity you have. Just because you think this is how things are and how things are going to be, and just because you think that you've got yourself into a mess and you've got to get yourself out of a mess, that's not true. That's never true. In fact, in alignment with this topic, living in your wealth, living in your wealth is the recognition that no matter how you got to where you are, you're in the right place right now. That is a very powerfully wealthy statement. In fact, it is brimming over with wealth. It's dripping with abundance because there's no correction needed to the past and you're not obligated to anything. You just have what is next. You have the next thought available to you that feels better if you want. We recommend the thoughts that feel better, but you can do any thought you want. But you're still starting from the zero point right now. So that's our wild and crazy and cyclonic kind of answer to your question. We thank you very much for bringing it to the table. Very delicious, very powerful, and very wonderful indeed.